Where a sole trader transfers his business to a limited company and thereafter trades via the medium of a company, he is said to have incorporated his business. In this chapter, we shall concentrate on the tax implications of a sole trader transferring his business to a company, looking at income tax, capital gains tax, national insurance, VAT, and corporation tax.
We will also take a brief look at legal and compliance issues of an incorporation and at the methods available for extracting funds from the new company. Although we will look specifically at a sole trader transferring his business to a limited company, the rules we will cover apply equally for partnerships which incorporate their businesses.
We will start by looking at income tax. The incorporation of a business by a sole trader brings about a cessation of trade for income tax purposes. The closing year rules will therefore need to be considered, including relief for overlap profits. Capital allowances must also be considered. On the cessation of trade, plant and machinery is deemed to be sold to the new company for consideration equal to the lower of actual consideration and cost resulting in balancing adjustments. The disposal of the plant and machinery to the company will give rise to balancing allowances if the disposal value of the plant is less than the tax written down value, or balancing charges if the disposal value of the plant is more than the tax written down value. Note that if any plant and machinery is purchased in the final accounting period, no annual investment allowance, first year allowances, or writing down allowances are available.
Let's look at a numerical illustration. Jason Lee runs a haulage business in the Northeast. On the 31st of December 2010, he incorporated his business by transferring his trade and assets to Lee Light Haulage Limited. Jason is managing director and 100% shareholder. He draws accounts annually to the 30th of June. Recent profits have been as follows. In the year ended 30th of June 2009, adjusted profits before capital allowances were £64,000 and capital allowances were £12,000, giving trading profits of £52,000. In the year ended 30th of June 2010, adjusted profits were £75,000 and capital allowances were £15,000, giving trading profits of £60,000. Jason ceased trading on the 31st of December 2010, and his profits before capital allowances in this 6-month period were £48,000. Overlap profits carried forward are £18,000. Next, we need to look at capital allowances in the final period. The tax written down values of Jason's plant and machinery at the 1st of July 2010 are as per your screen. The general pool stood at £30,000, while Jason also used a car in the business with a written down value of £12,500. The car is used solely for business purposes and there is no private use. On the 15th of July 2010, Jason purchased a new trailer for £7,000. This is an addition to the general pool. No annual investment allowance or first year allowance can be given, as this is the final accounting period. On incorporation at the 31st of December 2010, the consideration paid to Jason by the new company was £36,000 for the plant and £16,000 for the car, which is lower than the original cost of the car, which was £21,500. We deduct these proceeds in the capital allowances working.
This leaves a balancing allowance in the general pool of £1,000 and a balancing charge on the car of £3,500. We net these off to give an overall balancing charge for the period of £2,500. This balancing charge is effectively an additional profit and will therefore increase the taxable profits in the final accounting period. Lastly, we need to work out what is taxable in the final years of trade. The balancing charge increases the trading profits of the final 6 months. We therefore add this charge to the adjusted profit of £48,000 to give a trading profit for the final accounting period of £50,500.
Next, we work out the taxable trading profits for the final two tax years of trade. The penultimate year is 2009-10. In 2009-10, we tax profits of the year ended 30th of June 2009, being £52,000. In the final tax year, 2010-11, we tax all profits from the 1st of July 2009 to the date of cessation in December 2010. Profits of the year ended 30th of June 2010 are £60,000. Profits of the period ended 31st of December 2010 are £50,500. We add these together. Lastly, we need to deduct overlap relief of £18,000. Jason's taxable profits for 2010-11 are therefore £92,500. Looking now at the new company, Lee Light Haulage Limited has bought Jason's plant and machinery. The new company will have the following capital allowance pools at the 1st of January 2011. The opening balance on the general pool will be £36,000, and the opening balance for the car will be £16,000. No annual investment allowance or first year allowances are available, as the assets are acquired from a connected person. At this point, it is worth noting a potential planning point. If the assets are transferred for consideration of just £1, this is likely to create a significant balancing allowance, potentially relievable at a rate of 40% or even 50%, which could be good news for the sole trader. However, do remember that the company will only include £1 as the cost of its plant and machinery additions for the purpose of calculating future capital allowances.
Where plant and machinery is transferred between connected persons, a joint election can be made in writing to HMRC within 2 years of the transfer date for the assets to be transferred at tax written down value. The election can have the effect of cancelling a balancing charge on the cessation of trade. If Jason and the new company make a joint election under section 266, the capital allowances position will instead be as follows.
The written down value of the general pool at July 2010 is £30,000 and for the car is £12,500.
Jason purchased a new trailer for £7,000, so again we add this to the general pool. We now deal with disposals. As an election is made under section 266, Jason is deemed to have sold his plant to the new company for its tax written down value. Again, we deduct these deemed proceeds from the pool, this time giving a balancing adjustment of nil in both columns. The effect of the election is to cancel the previous balancing charge of £2,500. As the balancing charge has been cancelled, this will decrease the trading profits in the final tax year.
We now look at what is taxable in 2010-11. Profits of the year ended 30th of June 2010 are £60,000. Profits of the period ended 31st of December 2010 are now £48,000. We add these together and again deduct overlap relief of £18,000. Jason's taxable profits for 2010-11 are therefore £90,000.
The new company will now have an opening balance of £37,000 in the general pool and £12,500 for the car. The company effectively takes over the written down values of the sole trader. Again, no annual investment allowances or first year allowances are available, as the assets are acquired from a connected person. Turning now to the transfer of stock on incorporation. On incorporation, the sole trader will transfer his stock to the company. As this will be a transfer of stock between connected persons, the stock is deemed to have been sold to the company for an amount equal to its market value. The market value of the stock will therefore form part of sales in the final accounting period. If the market value of the stock exceeds its acquisition cost, a trading profit will arise on the transfer. That profit will be charged to income tax. The recipient of the stock, in this case the new company, is deemed to have bought the stock for its market value. Where stock is transferred between connected persons, the two parties may make an election under Section 178 ITOIA 2005. If a Section 178 election is made, the stock is to be treated as transferred for the hire of its acquisition value, i.e. the cost of the stock to the trader, or the amount the stock was actually sold for to the new company.
The election is joint and must be made by the anniversary of the filing date of the relevant self-assessment return, i.e. for cessations in 2010-11, the stock election should be made by the 31st of January 2013. Let me illustrate this. Penny is a newsagent. On the 1st of April 2011, she transferred her business to a limited company, Penn's Papers Limited. Details of her stock in hand on the cessation of her sole trade on the 31st of March 2011 is as per your screen. The cost of stock was £5,000. The value of the stock at the 1st of April 2011 was £8,000. Penny gave the stock to the new company, so the amount actually paid by Penn's Papers Limited is nil.
We will first assume that no election is made under Section 178 ITOIA 2005. Penny is deemed to sell the stock to the company for its market value of £8,000. The cost of stock was £5,000, giving Penny a taxable profit on the transfer of the stock of £3,000. This will be reflected in the trading profit for the final accounting period. Penn's Papers Limited is deemed to have bought the stock for £8,000. The position is different if an election is made under Section 178. In this case, Penny is deemed to sell the stock to the company for the hire of its cost to Penny of £5,000 and the actual selling price of nil. The hire of these is £5,000. The cost of stock was £5,000, giving Penny a taxable profit on the transfer of the stock of nil. Penn's Papers Limited is deemed to have bought the stock for £5,000. The election has the effect of reducing the sole trader's profit to zero, and thereby reducing her profits in the final year. The election also reduces the acquisition cost of the stock for the company. In effect, the company will now pay more tax when it sells the stock. How does a trader deal with trading losses in the accounting period up to cessation? If the sole trader has losses in the final year of trade prior to incorporation, there are four options for utilizing the loss. First, relief is available under Section 64 of the Income Tax Act 2007. Under Section 64, the loss can be relieved against net income of either the year of the loss or the preceding year. After a Section 64 claim has been made in a tax year, some of the loss can be converted into a capital loss and set against capital gains in that same tax year under a Section 71 ITA 2007 claim. Next, Section 90 of the Income Tax Act 2007. Section 90 deals with terminal loss relief. Here the loss can be relieved against trading profits of the year of cessation and the previous three tax years. Losses are relieved against later years before earlier years. Finally, relief is available under Section 86 of the Income Tax Act 2007. Under Section 86, the loss can be carried forward and relieved against any income taken by the former sole trader from the new company. Losses are relieved against employment income before dividends. To qualify for Section 86 loss relief, there is a requirement that 80% of the consideration on incorporation is given to the trader in the form of shares, and that these shares are still retained by the taxpayer in the year that the Section 86 relief is to be taken. note that the losses cannot be carried forward and relieved against the future profits generated by the new company. You should note that in practice, it is much more likely that a sole trader will incorporate a profit-making business, as the loss rules for income tax are more flexible than they are for corporation tax.